Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like the audio version of this show, please take a moment and leave a review because it helps us grow. Now, today we'll be catching you up on Destiny news at the top. Later we'll discuss the current events in the game and how we're liking them, touch briefly on the upcoming patch, and finally we'll talk all about the platforms Destiny 2 is coming to and some thoughts we have about each. First, the news. In Destiny 2 news, head of Xbox Phil Spencer mentioned the sequel while talking about the new Scorpio console, saying, Destiny 2 is going to be one of these games that I expect 5, 6, 7 years from now, people are still going to be playing that game. It's going to be a little bit like WoW, which you know, whatever it's been, 10 years later, 15 years later, millions of people still play the game. So he's saying it's going to have transmog and be even more addicting? I'm down if you are, Mr. Spencer. By the way, Phil is no slouch in the Destiny department. He boasts having 600 hours spent in the game. Not too shabby for the head of an entire brand. That was only Destiny 2 tease this week, so let's look at Destiny 1. Trials of Osiris is going to be getting a very important patch addressing those matches that won't end due to a bug. The patch is 2.6.0.2, and it should release this month. Via the update, there will also be the 6th anniversary of the Men in Kilts and 4th annual Tabletop Gauntlet fundraiser soon. Those charitable events help people in need, so if you're interested in lending a hand, consider donating to their cause. Kingsfall is the 390 raid this week, and many have acquired those beautiful new exotic primaries, but Wrath of the Machine is right around the corner, so if you like either of those, you're in for a treat. Also, Iron Banner is still going on and continuing until April 18th at 2 a.m. If you're looking to finish out your Age of Triumph book and need that particular node filled out, be sure to hop in and level up to rank 5. By the way, you have until August 1st, 2017 to 100% the book if you're going to get that custom t-shirt, so you have plenty of time. And of course, the May 18th gameplay reveal for Destiny 2 is about 1 month away, so be sure to keep your eyes on IGN.com for all of our Destiny 2 news until that day when we get our first look. That's the big news this week. Expect more on IGN as stories develop. Fran, CJ, you guys actually experienced the trials bug this week. So what happens exactly?
Yeah, it's literally what you said. Like,
it's weird.
You thought the match was over and you won, and then like nothing's
happened.
You're
just stuck there.
Yeah. You're stuck.
So I was having
They're all dead.
I was having a crazy moment, and as the guy who was last alive, which is rare because normally Lovebree is, you know, taking care of business.
He's your third.
He's a third. I was sniping guys and I watched them go down and then all of a sudden I didn't see their body, but I was following it and then the orb that where they were at was rising up. So I saved it. It's super odd and you don't know what's happening. So
yeah, the prickly part is that, so in this actual example, it was 4-4. We won into the fifth, and so we should have had that, moment on the card and moved on. Yep. But it became a standoff. Mm-hmm. Who will leave first? You were there an indefinite amount of time from that point on.
Yeah.
And so you have to basically go in and message the other team is one of your only ways out and say, hey, be a good sport. We obviously won that match because we had obviously, if you're in the middle of like another round, that could be a huge problem. And people just stay there.
You guys actually called them up, sort of. You got them on PlayStation.
Because it was odd. Like I think we were ahead 4-3 or 4-2. I can't remember. But
we just won the last
part of the I was about round. To kill the last guy. And then it was so weird because they kept rezzing everybody and I'd kill them. And they'd rez and kill them. Yeah. Finally, it was the three of us alive, the three of them dead. And we're looking at each other like, why is the match not ending? What's happening? So you think they're cheating. You go through that mode where, oh, they're cheating. You realize they're not.
Yeah.
We join the chat and they're like, are you guys glitching? Is it a bad connection? You're reporting things. So it's cool that at least within the Destiny community, you know, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing this?
This is weird.
Yeah. But Yeah, on both sides, it was a glitch.
But again, we like clearly won, so leave. Like, go and appreciate like that we kind of hope we have a rematch because whatever, something's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, that's nice to hope for, but like, if that happens in the future, I guess is what I'm saying, be a good sport if you already lost. Like, get out of there. People are trying to move on. And I'm not blaming this team.
Win at all costs.
That is not the thing to do.
If it's in the game, it's in the game.
And I've seen Grenader Jake. I've been watching his streams lately. He stayed in a match for something crazy like 3 hours.
Oh.
And just because he's like, I'm not going to leave.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
And we felt bad. Like, it was their elimination round. I think we were at like 8 or 7 wins or something. But we had won.
We won.
So it was one of those things where, we were just kind of like, I know you want to chill here.
We won. Let's go.
And that was good.
And don't forget, this type of stuff has happened before, so whatever. They'll fix it. It's confusing. We had during, the Halloween stuff, the round was, I think it was loading between matches. I don't know if you guys experienced this, and it was in Trials. It went to like an all black screen. It's just like sitting on a black screen.
So who what?
With like an overlay. We had to just bounce out. It screwed us.
Oh, really?
So stuff like this does happen, but good to see.
You had those 3 wins in the bag?
Yeah, right. Oh, it was during doubles, I think, actually. Oh,
okay.
No, it wasn't doubles. It was the Halloween stuff, but in any event, it happens, and I'm glad they're fixing it.
So. Yeah. Byproduct of big patches, so. Yeah.
So they have addressed it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They're gonna be fixing it this month.
Because the last one was basically the Warlock res at the end of the round, which kind of got fixed with Scories you needing a kill too. A lot of people would res and then you just Scory farm. You're like,
yeah, thank goodness
that's fixed. Itself. Yeah. So,
So the real big news this week was Phil Spencer talking about Destiny 2 a little bit.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that Scorpio news. So I put a poll on my Twitter and just the fact that Destiny 2 is coming to Scorpio PC and the PlayStation 4 platforms is really interesting. So I got about 2,500 responses. 48% said Scorpio, 9% said PC, and 43% said PS4. I thought it might be a little skewed, but other people were saying they had similar results from other polls that were put out there. Maybe a little heavier towards the PlayStation 4 brand. But I like that it was pretty even among the consoles. And I think the PC market isn't following the people who are playing Destiny 1 right now, and that's why we're not hearing as much from them.
And just for clarity, was it only these 3 choices? Like, Xbox One was to act as Scorpio, they were the same
thing? So I said Xbox One /Scorpio, PS4 /PS4 Pro, or PC.
So it wasn't so much about just Scorpio, it was about Xbox One platform.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, as a platform. So, do you think Scorpio, this is kind of what you talked about last week, Sean.
And I brought it up at the end of the show just because I thought it was interesting that Sony has obviously spent a lot of time and money and investment positioning Destiny as one of the key PlayStation franchises. Mm-hmm. There have been, with exclusive content, with it being on the Sony stage at E3, obviously they kind of they're making that case for PlayStation to be the best place to play this game. Yet here we have this opportunity for Microsoft to come in and say, but while that's probably still true, Destiny will be the best experience in terms of graphics or features or whatever it is on Scorpio. And I was wondering if, as you guys as PlayStation players, does that give you a second thought, or might that be something, maybe I should consider this as a PlayStation player?
Of course it does. Scorpio is going to be much more powerful than the Pro. I haven't upgraded to a Pro yet, and I am getting a Scorpio. I know that because I'm on an Xbox Day One right now. And I'm like, I skip the S because I know the Scorpio is coming, and that's when I'm going to invest. And it might be the same time I get the Pro because they're probably going to discount their console. It's just a smart buying decision because I don't make a lot of money anyway. I'm gonna buy those platforms at that time, and I'm really excited about it. Now, because of my progression on PlayStation, I don't know that I'm gonna make the jump yet. Only right. because of those exclusives.
So, totally interesting.
I'm waiting to hear what Xbox has to say about the exclusives. Phil clearly cares about his brand.
So
obviously,
that's all well and good, but you won't have progression per se to carry over.
I want to know what it is. I know my character's appearance, which I don't really care about, to be frank.
It's just,
what else is going to go? Emblems, shaders, maybe? Like, what kind of other rewards are we going to get for making that jump? Are we going to be able to transfer our characters? Those are all questions that I'm asking.
To me, that's the biggest one. And I came over initially being an Xbox guy for 10 plus years. I played all those Halo games. To think about leaving PlayStation now because of the people I've met in the community, that's almost a bigger tie for me as anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Has Bungie learned from the exotic exclusive thing, though? Are they going to make it all like legendaries where I'm like, oh, PlayStation gets some legendary exclusives? I don't care. Now I can consider all my platforms as my options.
Legendaries are the best, actually.
They're cool looking. Yeah.
I'll give prefer some legendary exclusives.
Like the problem comes in, especially for our job brand. I feel like I have a responsibility to play all the content that's available, and I can only do that on PlayStation.
Sure. Yeah. I was just joking that I want awesome roles like the Hawksaw Vendor.
So, it totally makes sense for you guys. I mean, not just you guys, but us in general as content creators and streamers to be able to play on the platform where you have access to 100% of the content. I personally have a little bit less of a stake in terms of creating Destiny content on the regular than you guys do for IGN while I am on the show. So it's not as important to me. Plus, again, Stagger Sticks for life. I'm never going to betray the console because of it. I can't play
just
shooters.
Just buy a stick with Stagger Sticks.
Can't do it. At the same time, though, like, I just think that that's a really interesting position to be in if you're Sony, right? Like, I don't know that they can do anything to combat the idea that Microsoft might come in and be like, yeah, Sony's offering all this stuff for Destiny, but the experience is going to be best. Why? Because our console is more powerful. And that seems like, okay, how does Sony combat that? Like, or
well,
do they even?
Let's continue the conversation, but I want to read Phil's full quote here. I read it at the beginning, but so here's what he said in the interview. So when we thought about our tools, I said, okay, games are going to live longer than we've used them. Then we're used to them living on our platform, which means from the service capability and monetization standpoint, we've got to go build tools so they can continue to give content and services and other things to the customers. Seeing games like Destiny get born this generation makes a ton of sense. And then he goes on to talk about but also these games are going to probably start to span generations. You know, if you think about like Destiny 2 is coming this year, I picked Destiny because I have 600 hours into the game, but you know, Destiny 2 is going to be one of those games that I expect like 5, 6, 7 years from now. And then he goes on to talk compared to WoW. Like, so it's really interesting that he brings up the services around a game like Destiny. LFG is fantastic on Xbox.
Yeah, that's actually a big push. I mean, that's something, again, maybe I'm a little bit biased here because I've kind of always been more of an Xbox guy than a PlayStation, even though I've owned every PlayStation console. Traditionally, Microsoft being a PC-first platform and a services-first company has better features and functionality than Sony does in that regard when it comes to Xbox Live. If you look at the trend in the AAA space of games, AAA games becoming more service-oriented, then it's not much of a logical leap to think that in the future games will span generations, like Phil says in his quote, and that in that regard, in the long run, Destiny might be the better or stronger experience on Xbox. I just think that's a really interesting thing.
Don't forget PC. PC is going to be probably visually the best just because graphics card can easily be upgraded in the future. So you can't count them out either. Fran, you have something you wanted to say.
Yeah, I was going to comment on your question, actually, but I'm joking. Yeah, I've had a lot of thoughts about this. I mean, I think for starters, you have to define what your reasons are. Like, that's where it's not you can't go out and be Phil and say, yo, I got the most powerful console. It's going to be best on Scorpio. I know that's not his intent. It's partially marketing, but, like, best doesn't just mean that it performs best, right? To your point, PC, if that looks best, you can customize all your controllers, keyboard. That doesn't mean that it's the best. It's what's best for you. And I go back to what CJ said, which was you know, it's about the community. That's what Destiny's about
exactly.
for me. It's very hard for me to think about, never mind, you know, exclusive maps or exclusive weapons, which I do love. it's still about the community. Like if I log on and do not have a bevy of folks to play with or my core team. Mm-hmm. So really that's number one. If you already have a team, you got to ask them where they're going.
Yeah.
So we've already decided on PS4, but I'm hoping to play on every platform. Like I said it on last week's show, I think, but I really hope to see cross platform play. It's Microsoft's strongest play. So now you've got me on Windows 10. Therefore I'm on PC. I'm on my Scorpio. I'm on my Xbox One. I'm on my PlayStation 4 Pro. Boom, I'm set. Now, that for me is a double purchase, but I'm willing to do that if you get that crossplay. Without it, no, I'm not just going to get a score. Like, the graphics on Scorpio probably are not going to be enough to turn me away from weapon exclusives probably and stuff like that and the community. That's not good enough. I can always play on PC as well, right?
My whole thing is my raid crew. You know, shout out to Xavier, Goji, Pat Matt, Champ, and Bob, Winnie Bob.
Bob.
Those guys raid with me every single Tuesday at 8 on the stream.
Yeah.
And they're reliable. They're there every Tuesday. I know they'll wait. Yeah. We'll wait for each other. And it's really nice to have a group like that. It's going to be really hard to say, hey, I'm going to bounce to Xbox. Hey, I'm going to bounce to PC and build up that sort of repertoire.
Yeah, it's an investment.
And I'm not talking – and to clarify my comments, I'm not talking about best – experience not encompassing the things that are obviously innate to the game, like who you play with and stuff, right? Obviously, all that stuff always factors in, right? Doesn't matter if the graphics are better if you have no one to play with. But at the same time, like, it's now interesting for me to speculate, like, that the situation might be reversed. As an Xbox player, this last year or two of three of Destiny, I've had to play on my platform knowing that there is a better experience out there.
Right.
On PlayStation 4, will it be the same for PlayStation 4 players knowing that if this is the case, and we don't know that it is, knowing that potentially the graphics are a little better, the frame rate's a little bit more stable,
4K
controls
60.
Better, 4K 60 or whatever, mm-hmm. on Xbox Scorpio, and does that cause you any concern? That's all
I hope it's better because Xbox players deserve better than they've gotten the last generation with the exclusives.
Just go play Overwatch, though. I think that's where, like, look, you can make a lot of assumptions about what's going to happen. But what I'm saying is Overwatch performs awesome on PlayStation for the most part. Now, I don't play a
and Xbox
ton.
And PC.
Yeah, but my point is it's a smooth experience. So we can't assume just because there's more power between Xbox One and Scorpio that it's actually got performance issues. I get your point, by the way, Sean.
Stability.
And that doesn't – there's no reason they can't get it to run at 60 at 1080p.
No, but my
That's
thing is like – but my thing is like even if it's demonstrably proven to be not the case, like there is parity across PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox 3 and Xbox Scorpio, you can count on Microsoft saying it's still the most powerful console. It's going to be better.
Yeah, of course.
Guys, I just realized CJ is still here.
No, I
know. He wants to say something.
No, it's one of those things where I think Microsoft has a lot of catching up to do. It's not just about those things because think about it. We came into this generation, Call of Duty 4, Destiny. There's a whole lot of brands that flipped. That's still crazy in my mind that that actually occurred. Because Call of Duty was like by far Xbox for life.
Oh, yeah.
Here we are. It's PlayStation now. When did that happen? You know, so
over the first 2 years of the lifespan of that console where it didn't deliver on what we wanted.
So for that reason alone, to me, Xbox will need to play catch up long before, you know, the Scorpio is going to get released and the install base is not going to be huge. So to me, it's like we're years away from it catching up.
It's funny that it's like that's – you know, putting aside how this game's going to perform, like just look at the dashboard for Xbox. Like we all still have issues with it, and they've made a lot of awesome improvements, by the way. But like, never mind new hardware; they've got some like simple infrastructure things that are gonna. That's what you need to turn people over.
Which
to that
is
platform.
Crazy because the Xbox Live was amazing. Fantastic. I know for so many
whatever
years.
They called it for the later versions.
Blades. Okay,
initially
they were
really
amazing.
Not the blades or whatever.
The argument that the blades would work in today's
put aside the blades. No, put aside the blades.
The new Xbox experience, the 360, when it launched, like you know, with early versions of Kinect, that was super rock solid too. Like PlayStation implemented a bunch of those features, party chat, all that stuff that was in Xbox, and they removed it for Xbox One.
Honestly, I think for most gamers, it's about speed. I don't know if that's true for everyone, but like, I'm sure you could agree. Even with the latest UI improvements, it's too slow, man. It's just clunky.
So I've said this on Unlocked. I don't really notice these things.
Yeah.
Maybe like, it's my Xbox. I like go over to that new left. Like,
my Xbox is really, really laggy on the dashboard. Like, I don't know how you got lucky and you don't have those problems, but
I don't know what it is.
I have really bad dashboard problems.
It could also be because I don't know how often you play PlayStation.
I'm making it sound really bad. It's just laggy and it'll literally freeze for a few seconds before it goes
to the
next
thing. It's not the end of the world. I have the same problem. Yeah.
I don't want it to sound like it's not functional. Yeah, that's not accurate.
No, and so that's the thing is like, I guess my thing is, again, I don't really have, it's hard for me to describe my basis for comparison because UI speed isn't like, when I'm judging things in terms of milliseconds, like it's all nonsense to me. Like whether or not it's 10 milliseconds or 20 milliseconds, when it comes to the UI, I could care less.
But this is
the Bungie UI when you hop into Destiny. You need to pop heavy ammo and you're waiting.
Oh, see, that's annoying because that affects gameplay. Like I was playing, you know, the raid challenge, which I get, we'll talk about later. But like I pop in and I'm like waiting. I know exactly the icon. I know where, I know the square where my heavy is.
Yep.
And I'm just waiting for it to populate so I can pop my heavy and get back to shooting things. It's just that.
Sometimes you have a five stack, you redeem one, then it moves, and you redeem something. You're like, great, I have a pumpkin in for a week.
Oh, and you can't discard those. You have to use them.
But those are the kind of issues when you start seeing comparison videos that I think might play into it for people.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, well, I mean, so that's totally the thing. Is like, okay, so put yourself in Bungie. Put yourself in Bungie's position. If you're designing a game for multiple platforms and one of them clearly offers you the ability to do a little bit more, as an artist, as a developer, are you not going to want to take advantage of that?
Oh, of course.
And if that's the case, and you can, again, assume or speculate that maybe the fidelity of graphics or frame rate will be better on Xbox Scorpio, like, how much does that weigh into your decision about?
Very little, to answer your question. Very little, because I'm too rooted in the community and they have exclusive content still.
Yeah.
Now, if the exclusive content part goes away, then I have to be like, hey, raid team, do you guys want to move platforms? And if they say yes, then I'm open to it. But if they say no, I realize, hey, I have to build a whole new group of people that are willing to raid every Tuesday at 8.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember now, it may not pan out this way, but 4K is one of the major objectives. So if you're trying to play on a TV that's 4K, Scorpio becomes very important to you if that is important, but that is not a huge set of gamers yet. Like, right? There's, I mean, there's a reason it's a four times more powerful GPU. You're rendering about four 1080p screens, by the way. So, you know, when you factor that in, right, you can go for that super crisp 4K 60 hopefully experience, but again, like, are they going to design a bunch of stuff for 1080p? That is a big enough leap between, right?
They are actually, for the Scorpio, they are doing things on the 1080 version.
Yeah, I know. They do it for PS4 Pro as well. I was just, in general, I was saying, will it be enough to, like, what you're
talking
about?
Like, actually, when PS4 Pro came out, we had a little bit of a complicated sort of approach with our graphics comparisons here because you had to compare, even in 1080p mode, you could do, like higher fidelity graphics, higher frame rate, or like regular. There was just a bunch
like
of
PC where there's different settings.
And you gotta
Final
know
Fantasy
what you're
doing. Has that, for example, right?
And then within the games, then they have their settings there too. So you have the console level, and then you have the game level, and it was a little overwhelming.
But it's cool. I mean, again, that's what I was getting at before. It's about feature set, you know, and that's where, like, look, if you're good with the Xbox and you're interested in Scorpio and 4K, like, it could be super compelling, but. For us, I think we're so heavy on PlayStation and like graphics are important to me, but performance actually is more important in that sense, meaning I'd rather have if as long as they all run well, then I don't care that much what platform I play on. However, I can tell you if there's a performance problem on like PlayStation 4 or something,
you're gone.
And I would definitely for sure.
Which again, I doubt that's going to happen. Bungie's been really good about making sure that like minus exclusive content and some random sort of in-game stuff, the games play exactly the same on either platform.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't look better on PS4 than it does on Xbox One right now.
I was incredibly happy to see how close it was, 48% to 43%, because if it was all PlayStation, I would have been kind of bummed out. I want to see the communities even on both platforms, and I love seeing that there is going to be a substantial PC audience. I think a lot of people are really interested in the PC market.
That just won't happen. There's just way more PlayStations out there, you know?
Definitely.
There's a lot of PCs out there.
I know, I'm talking about parity between Xbox versus PlayStation 4.
I think we're just not hearing from those PC gamers. I think there's going to be a big
They have no option. The influx. Like,
right now, Destiny 1's not on PC, so they're thinking only Destiny 2.
Yeah. Sure.
Put it simply, right, if they make a competitive PvP experience, you know, that is closer to call it esports, that suddenly, right, it changes ton about how Destiny is played, especially on a PC. I mean, those are the communities that get out there. They're playing at a very high level, competing at a very high level because, right, they want to play at 180 frames per second or whatever. So
I kind of don't want that for Destiny.
I've had this comment too. It's like, will this be better or worse for the community?
What?
Like PC. You know, it's
why would it be worse?
Well, not worse, but it changes fundamentally how the game is played.
I see what you're getting at. I don't think it's a bad thing that more people get to play Destiny, but I'm not sure that Destiny would be a great esport or that the esports mentality or community would be good for the Destiny community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wasn't saying make it an esport or not, but we'll see. I think it has tons of potential. We talk about that, right?
Yeah, the esports community ruined Rainbow Six.
Well, no, and I also.
No, it didn't.
I also said
Overwatch, man.
No, but games that are designed for that's different, right? Like, you're talking to a Counter-Strike player, so I love esports. StarCraft, I love esports, and I just think that that's not what players go to Destiny for, and the people who go to Destiny for a different reason than esports might be turned off by the esports mentality.
We've talked about it a lot on the show about trials and different tiers and different
options. That is esports. Yeah. That already is.
And, if they have, some sort of ranking system that put those ridiculously good players in a bracket and me in a bracket, it fixes the carry problem.
But I mean, it's not even people just, look at it every week.
But it's not totally even just having the right mode. Look at a game like Dota, where skilled players who have higher MMRs are placed in higher brackets. That mentality of you're a noob, you don't know what you're talking about, you're terrible, and I'm not willing to teach you, and it's just super toxic, is at every level of the whole game, and people don't like Dota because of that.
It's not there for Overwatch.
All I'm saying is that's not true.
I'm sure it exists in every game.
Competitive games have toxic competitive cultures because of the esports mentality. Everyone wants to be or play like a pro. All I'm saying is that I could potentially foresee a future in which the positivity and community-like aspect of Destiny is affected negatively if it became more esports oriented. That's all I'm saying.
There's some validity to that, only because, again, I'm not down on the PC. I might go that direction as well. But a part of me wondered if they delayed private matches. If they delayed private matches so long for that reason, it allowed us to Sherpa. It allowed us to do only certain things within the game. They had the ability to do that from day one, 100%. I remember we were debating this in Gamescom. Why did that take 2 years?
Yeah.
No, it's Bungie, been doing that the forever. Guys who created private matchmaking in Halo. Yeah.
Why did it take 2 years? Well, they took away special ammo by the end of the game life cycle. So it's just I don't understand how they get to some of those decisions. But
I will say this.
I'm sure there's reasons, but that we don't know.
But they taught us potentially how to parse out features and that being okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Destiny 2 is going to release with Trials, and I don't think it's going to release with all these.
I hope Trials is like their biggest thing.
CJ, I think they're going to roll out some stuff.
I think they're going to roll it out because now they've trained us to.
Trials
to,
is the first one, right?
Well, Trials and DLC, Rasputin,
right?
Oh yeah, the expansion.
It's Osiris.
Oh, yeah,
day one, every mode probably won't be in the game.
I'll bet you that mode exists, but I think what that expansion will be is story campaigns exploring
the lore
of Brother Vance, or that's his name.
CJ, you were just saying that I hold it for 2 weeks or a month.
However long. Elimination in the Crucible selection.
It is the first DLC. It could hit that Christmas window.
But that's my point.
If you imagine the uproar if they held it
for 3 months?
Wait, was that your point though, CJ?
Yeah.
That they might hold it until the expansion?
Or who knows?
Which was your point though, that they might just hold it for a couple weeks or
why was PvP not inserted into Destiny day one? Everybody has speculations about why that is.
Private
matchmaking. Mm-hmm. Looking back now, I think it was a way to kind of generate these kind of communities.
So they want people to focus on the story for the launch.
Right.
And then when Christmas comes around, it's like, hey, here's a present. Trials is back.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that mentality of philosophy being implemented. But can you imagine the uproar the community would have if something that was innate to the game was taken away for the sequel? It's going backwards.
It's only 3 months.
Only 3 months?
We don't know anything. This is all speculation.
It is. No, I didn't know that. It's a really interesting thought.
Wouldn't you, as a player, if they were there's no PvP at the beginning of Destiny? Because
imagine Imagine you're a marketing person at Activision or Bungie.
I don't care.
Just imagine for a second, what are they aiming towards? They're aiming towards people talking about a new cinematic story. It's all that's been in all the marketing material.
Yeah, so all you have to do is make a good cinematic immersive story. You don't have to take away other features to do that.
They do, and then in December they want the conversation to be about Trials.
You wouldn't be unhappy with that, though?
I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about their marketing strategy.
But I could – I don't care less about what marketing people want to do. I fight for the gamer.
I would draw more back to Bungie, though, don't you think?
Like, talking about why they would do it, I'm not saying I'm not a gamer and I want them to take it away. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I know. And I'm not saying that's what you're not – I'm not saying that that's what you're saying.
He's saying don't write it off because, yeah, that's how they might think about it, right? Mm-hmm. What does Bungie think is the real question? I think when they withhold stuff, it's because, honestly, when you get a new game out there, you have to collect the data. So, yeah, PvP on day one is already going to be a ton of things they got to look at. It's a whole new game. I think it's very valid to say that something like Trials won't be there on day one because holy cow, we've got all these, we've got a couple new modes, we've got the old stuff that's shifted all around, new guns. There's so much they're going to have to look at. That's why the beta, you know, hopefully gets a lot of that out of the way, but we know how that goes. So yeah, I would actually be willing to bet Trials won't be there day one.
Yeah.
I think, I didn't know for sure if you thought that way, but would they hold it until
December. The they hold it till December. That's what they did with
maybe.
What was it?
Small problem though.
It was Dark Below. Yeah. Dark Below launched that.
Yeah, yeah.
Holiday,
it was December.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. It was right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really
so
interesting.
What did they
thing,
withhold
though.
There?
Not well. Trials didn't exist. But Trials didn't exist.
Okay, but we're not. Yeah. Okay, we're not talking about.
Well,
something
let me
that
finish my point.
Exist.
If I missed, I was just going to say it'd be very interesting if they chose to hold it. Not because it's 3 months. By the way, it's not the end of the world as you're playing this huge, hopefully new game with all these modes. I mean, yeah. I play Trials every weekend. I'm thirsty for it. However, okay, maybe I got to wait 3 months as they get stuff sorted out because I don't want it to be a nightmare either. But you have to pay for that expansion. So that would be crazy.
That's a good
even
point.
Worse.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So
that would be
that
pretty
that's
shady.
Not the goal.
Paying
I hope
for a feature that you already had in the last game. Yeah. Oh, that would be – that's
– Yeah. No, so by the way, I don't
let's
think
assume
they
they're
that.
Not dumb.
So by the way, I think here's the way to do it. You know, you get Trials out there, but it will be for everyone. But if you want to learn more about the stories behind Trials and of that, that's going to be part of the release. But I think the mode will be exclusive to that release.
I love the idea of them putting like positioning modes or features or things to do in the game behind the game's lore. So for instance, like Trials exists, but you can't do it until you complete the Trials quests or whatever, or the lore or whatever it is. The missions, or you reach X level. Like, you can, Trials is in the game, but you have to be level whatever, 40, I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But just like, for it to not exist, anytime gamers get something and then later on are not getting it or have to pay for it,
they're going to be unhappy.
That's
it's a
terrible.
Brand new game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's valid.
No, I know, but
I
like,
know we have expectations, but
we have sequel, no idea what it even looks like.
No. You know?
But think about it, because what's going to be the next Trials? Like, so
good question. Right? There might be a new trial.
There might be something new. And I think that's where – even I read that statement where Bungie's like, well, you know, it's all going away. But it's like, okay, they're able to say that because it's Destiny 2 and it gives them a fresh start. But going away to me is just a way to get them off the hook but potentially re-release it in pieces later or figure out how they want to implement it differently. Which I think they're going
to
do.
I mean, to your point, that there's an expansion. We know Trials is going to come back in some form.
Yeah.
When and how, we don't know. But at least meaning that one we can count on. It's different if you're like, will Prison be in the game? I'm like, looking at the expansions, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But Trials, probably Trials is going to be part of Destiny 2's experience.
At least,
right?
Elimination, right?
Well, or no, some Trials. Type. I mean, like,
some form of competitive round-based multiplayer.
Elimination.
The expansion is based on the lore. So, like, I mean, if I would be willing to bet Trials will be in the game.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not they change it at all, but the Trials competition and the card is some – it will be in there, obviously.
Yeah. But they'll evolve it, I think. I mean, they did that between year two and three, right? Yeah. Oh, you can't apply your boons mid-round. You have to do it all at once at the beginning. Like, they'll find some way to
but
change
are, like,
it a little
minor
bit.
Tweaks, right?
No, but they're changing how they affected how to do the gameplay.
Let me play devil's advocate here and ask everybody one question. Sean – would you be heartbroken if they delayed Trials until December? Yes or no?
Heartbroken? Yeah.
And
just
angry.
Delayed, not part of, not pay for.
Well, I mean, it's DLC. You're going to have to pay for it. Think about original Trials launched with House of Wolves, right? Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes. So it launched with House of Wolves. I remember I did the preview and I said, it's like the best multiplayer experience I've ever played.
Yeah.
It was a ton of fun. And, I'm wondering if they delayed it and they made it part of DLC, which House of Wolves was, would that make you angry? Like, how would you feel?
Yes, I would feel angry because we're not talking about something that doesn't yet exist. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Trials of Osiris. Now, if it's something different, like 3 months down the line, we get a brand new Trials of Osiris. Maybe it's not called that, but it's not 3v3 elimination round based. It's 6v6 something, and, or it involves vehicles. It's different. It's a new thing. I'm okay with that because that stuff takes time to develop and implement. Mm-hmm. But Trials as it exists now, if they were to withhold that from people and say, if they were to withhold that at all, that would be terrible, I think. And then if they withhold it and make you pay for it, I think that would, that's anti-consumer.
People are going to go crazy.
I would go crazy. Fran? I think that's terrible. And I want to be clear, I don't think that that's going to happen. I just think it would be kind of bad if it did.
Yeah.
So,
fun speculation.
Yeah, I would only
what if they do something terrible? Let's talk about it.
I would only be upset if they made me pay for that part of the experience. Mm-hmm. Trials, to the point, like we all – it's part of the core experience.
Yeah.
I would be bummed if like that mode, which is really brilliant, was withheld for money, additional money. However, I actually don't have any qualms with waiting 3 months. Again, I'm someone who wants it. The weekend it releases, I want to play Trials. But the reality is, I'm experiencing this with so many games. There's so much to play. Hopefully the campaign quality experience, the raids, 3 months is fine. I'm fine waiting. And also there is an anticipation factor, right, in gaming and entertainment. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said about God, that carrot on the stick. So, in short, if it's free, right, I think it could be awesome. And this huge part of this next 3 month, you know, tent pole, we need those tent poles. Otherwise, we just, it's like a buffet, man.
Yeah.
Like, you just go to the buffet and after you're like, oh God. And you like, you feel terrible. Like, I kind of like a good.
Another food analogy. Meal.
Like, Frank, like they delayed the raids a little bit after the release.
Yeah. Like, no, you got to pace that. And it's the same conversation with raids, right? Like, now.
Remember, we killed ourselves to get ready for Wrath.
Yes. So pace it out. I don't have a problem, even though I would happily play it on that first weekend.
So I need to go back and read the one sheet, but I do not remember Trials being listed. I do remember Crucible and new modes and stuff like that being listed. I don't remember them specifically saying Trials of Osiris. I'll go back and look and paste it in the description of this episode. So what are your thoughts, CJ?
So I wouldn't be upset, but again, I think that the evolution of what it is, we're not sure. And I mean, I trust Bungie for that. I mean, 3v3 at first is like, what's happening? You know, it was always 4v4. Slayer. Why am I a guy down?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make any sense. And for the longest time, that's how my brain thought, being a Halo guy. But now it's like, oh, now it's 3v3. Will they change that? Are they going to build the maps to, you know, reflect that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I'm obviously the current iteration of Trials I love. Carrot on the stick. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why we play it every weekend is because it's only available on the weekend.
Yeah.
If it was available all week, I don't think we would have that same hankering to, like, mm-hmm. buckle down on the weekend to do
it. I don't think CJ would be able to hold this job down.
I would not be here. But, yeah. So, but that's the thing. And so for that reason, like, I'm excited to play it every weekend and do that. But there is this, mental, psychological, when it's, you know, if I take it away from you, you're going to want it more. Mm-hmm. And, exactly. Like, I mean, I'm there for that reason. So.
Okay, so my only thought is I wouldn't be too upset if they delayed it to December. I didn't make the connection that that's paid DLC.
Delayed.
And people will be angry, furious, if they tie it to some sort of paid service.
Yeah,
paid
it comes
–
I think it comes down to whether or not it's developing and implementing something new versus withholding something we already had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trials of Osiris, as we know it, is 3v3 round-based elimination.
Mm-hmm.
If they're withholding that specifically from us, I'm against that. But if they're giving us a new competitive mode that isn't Trials of Osiris,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but is whatever, take your time and implement that. 3 months down the line, if you want to make sure you get it right, that's fine by me. It's the whole idea of you had something before, and now you don't have it, and this is the sequel. That's a little
That's what Destiny 2 is, though. To me, I think to expect anything, from Destiny 1 coming into Destiny 2 is not like not going to be accurate.
We know Crucible is going to be there. We know a campaign is going to be there.
100%.
We don't know what it's going to play like. It'll probably have great gameplay.
Yeah, but is there going to be Rift, or maybe there might be Capture the Flag, or maybe there might be like a bomb game.
How would you
game,
feel
like
if they took
Slayer.
Away Rift?
Slayer. It might be 4v4.
I mean, that would kind of suck.
Kilimanjaro.
Exactly. But what if they had something different?
I mean, that's fine.
But they have Capture the Flag.
I'm not saying like they have to keep everything they wanted. All I'm saying is like if you – if you had something that was very popular amongst your fan base and then you're taking that away and asking for money for it,
Iron Banner's, you know, only for season pass holders, by the way.
Oh, yeah. See, like, I would, yeah, I would, know. Oh, I would go crazy.
It's not a joke. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Makes sense.
We do have to wrap up this episode, but I want to give a shout out to the community.
Really?
Why? What do you want to talk about?
We haven't even talked about the raids yet.
More?
The raids are great. We're like over on time.
I'm joking.
But I do want to say we'll talk about it next week. We'll talk about all our raid experience because we'll have completed all of them and you will check in to see where you're at. Iron Banner.
Can I just contribute something really quick? I got Zowli's Bane, whatever the hand cannon.
So who's Bane?
Still sucks.
Of course. You're like,
yeah.
No raid.
Reload. Oh, wait. I'm just going to hide in this corner for 10 minutes I'm like plugging the bullets back in.
So all I want to say is, do you guys have a thought on the Trials of Osiris conversation we had today? Give us a call at speakpipe.com/fireteamchat. Or if you have a thought about the Scorpio, PlayStation 4 Pro, and PC platforms, you can also leave a comment there and we will talk about we will add you to the conversation on the show. Anyway, that is it for this episode. Thank you everybody for listening. Fran, are you ready to do this outro?
Thank you. As always.
All of us are going to do it. No Jose this week.
No. So.
Hanging his head.
Man, he can't do the outro to the show. Everybody out there, get ready to do it with us.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.